21st chapter of the book of Revelation. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, 21st chapter. We're going to start reading at verse number 5. It says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Let us pray. Father, I thank you today for your wonderful grace, for the Word of God. And Father, I ask that you help us today preach through me. Father, use me today to preach thy word. And Father, just use thy word to convict our hearts. And Lord, that we might just mind you. And Lord, be doers and not just hearers of thy word. We ask for your help, for your wisdom, for your guidance today, and for an attentive spirit in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've entitled The Agonies of a Lost Soul. The Agonies of a Lost Soul. I was thinking of verse number 7, "And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I was thinking about how wonderful it's going to be in heaven. I think I can hear some amens, because sometimes we yearn for that, don't we? It's going to be a wonderful thing to be in a place where God is all the time, in perfect, us being in perfect without sin. I think that's going to be wonderful. I think it's wonderful to be able to think about what we might do when we get to heaven, and I don't really have a deep understanding of all of those things, but I know this. I want to be able, personally, to be able to just stand in his presence. And I think about that a lot of times, what it would be like just to stand in the presence of Almighty God. To understand that he's holy, that he is all-powerful, that he's the light. It won't need no sun, but he's the light thereof. And all of his beauty and all that he is, to be able to stand in his presence is going to be something awesome and wonderful. I personally am going to enjoy being able to be in a place where it'll be impossible for me to sin. It'll be impossible for me to think a wrong thought. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to that. I look forward to the day then when I don't have to constantly fight Bob Ross. When I'll be in a place with a perfect body, likened unto my Lord, be with him forever and ever and ever, be perfect like he is perfect, likened unto he is perfect. I don't know about you, but again, I look forward to that. And the thought of that not coming to pass just literally horrifies me. To think that you would go through life down here and suffer all the things that we suffer in life, and then afterwards have to go somewhere and spend an eternity in a devil's hell in a lake of fire is just horrifying to me. But to think that I do have a place prepared in heaven, that I'll be able to spend eternity with my Lord, is one of the most glorious and wonderful thoughts of my life. So, this morning, I'm going to bring a message which I have simply entitled it, The Agonies of a Lost Soul. Some of the things that it'll mean not to be in heaven. What a lost soul will have to go through. One of the first things that we want to mention is the fact that they'll be separated from God forever. Now, I realize that eternity without God is more than just separation. I realize it's an eternal hell, it's eternal fire. And we'll spend eternity in that. But I also know that just the fact of being separated from God is going to be something terrible. Just being out of the very presence of God is going to be horrible, let alone the flame that torments and all of those other things that goes on. But just being out of the presence of a holy God for eternity is something that just is horrifying to me. And I hope today that maybe as I preach this simple message, that maybe you'll just get a hold of the truths of it and realize it's going to be horrible to be out of the presence of God, separated from Him forever. First of all, we'll be separated from Him who is life. If you'll notice that those who are cast into the lake of fire, it's spoken of as the second death. It is death. It is not life. It's an eternal death forever and ever. And yet, our God is life. And to be away from Him would be to be away from life. And I can't imagine that. In John 14:6, of course, He tells us He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He is life. To be with God is to have life, living life. Everybody yearns for life. Brother Carey, I forgot to have prayer for that dear friend of yours, but he has a dear friend, and we'll... Someone who I call on, try to remember to pray for this friend that is on her deathbed. And today they're calling the family in. But it was a lady, wasn't it, as I remember? And she was a Christian. And it looks like that her time is very near. It's a good friend of theirs, and some of the family's good friends of theirs. But I was thinking about, you know, most folk hold on to life. You yearn for life. You hold on to life. And to be outside of God is to be outside of life. What a horrible thing it would be. To be separated not only from Him that is life, but also from Him who has all power. Again, there's many things throughout our life that we probably don't take a whole lot of notice to, but as we live our life, we certainly realize as Christians we have someone with a greater power that can do things for us that we certainly cannot do. The Bible says that power belongeth to God. And let me say to you, it does. Can you imagine being outside of that power? Being unable to have any power to do anything whatsoever. You certainly can't get out of hell. You certainly can't do anything about your condition in hell. You can do nothing whatsoever, and there's no one there to have the power to do anything for you. Because to be separated from God is to be separated from His power. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 24th verse, that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. That our Christ is His power. And can you imagine being outside of that? Now, some of you will think, well, when I get to, if I'm unsaved and I get to hell, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that. You won't do anything but what you are allowed to do. You'll burn in an eternal hell forever. You won't get out. You won't go down to the drugstore and get you some medicine to help the burns. You won't go down to the local restaurant and get you a nice meal. You won't. There's no Coke machines in hell. There's no water faucets in hell. Very seldom I think about that because I go down through the basement here. I enjoy those water fountains. I don't know if anybody else does or not, but I do. I get my good out of them. I drink about every time I go by it. I like cold water. And I enjoy them. To think, folks, there's no wells in hell. It's a lake of fire, you see. So you're outside of the power of God Almighty, the only one that can do anything for us and help us. You're outside of that power when you're separated from God. Not only that, to be separated from God means to be separated from Him who has all wisdom. God is all wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It's out of the mouth of God that comes wisdom. And folks, you understand, those who will be separated from God in hell will have no wisdom because they'll be separated from God. The Bible tells us if we lack wisdom, we're to ask of God. How can we ask of God when we're separated from God? And those in eternal lake of fire will be separated from God with no wisdom whatsoever, no one to go to and seek wisdom. I know myself that as I go through life and I run into problems and troubles, I find myself constantly crying out to God. I say, Lord, help me. I mean, how many times that I do that, I say, God, help me. I need your help. God, there's no one else can help me. Please help me. Please give me wisdom. But to be out separated from God is to be separated from His wisdom. Not only that, to be separated from God means to be separated from all of His wealth. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. You see, Jesus Christ is heir of all things. And what I'm simply saying to you is, there'll be no wealth, there'll be nothing that you can obtain, there'll be nowhere you can go for what you might want, because there'll be none there to give it to you, because only God can give. And you'll be separated from all the wealth that there ever was. And I'm not just talking about gold and silver, I'm talking about all the things that we think about here on this earth. You'll be separated from them. It won't be no banks or bank loans, thank God, in heaven or hell. Amen? But you won't be able, you see, to get what you want. You think, well, so many people I talk to, they think that hell is just going to be some place that's going to be a little bad. They don't understand. It's not going to be a little bad. It's going to be all bad. I mean, it's not something you can just maybe get along with. You can just suffer through it because there's going to be a few comforts there. No, there's going to be no comforts there. You understand? We understand that. Why? Because we're separated from Him who is comfort, who Him has all things. We're also going to be separated from Him in whom is all righteousness. The Bible says in Romans 5:17, they which receive abundance of grace, He said, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The gift of righteousness. Can you imagine being outside of righteousness? I thought of that when I was reading the last verse in the text. He says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what's going to be outside of God. That's what's going to be for those who are in a lake of fire. Can you imagine spending an eternity there with the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all that are liars? Can you imagine, and I know I've mentioned this before, but can you imagine living next door to these kind of people? You'd move if it was down here like that. You couldn't stand it. You'd move or do something to try to get them out of your community. Liars and murderers and sorcerers. And yet, that's all there's going to be in hell. Understand? It's not going to be a good place. You know why it's going to be like that? It's because it's going to be like that because it's separation from God, who is all righteousness and truth. Not only that is there the agony of separation from God, there's also the agony of no repentance. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart of man is desperately wicked. Outside of Jesus Christ, my friend, your heart is desperately wicked. I don't care how good you think you may be or how good a life you try to live. The Word of God says the natural heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. The reason He had to save you is because you were dead, and I was dead in trespasses and sin. And God had to save us. He had to quicken us and make us alive. But do you understand that there'll be no righteousness, no way to become righteous in hell? Because we're outside of God, separated from Him forever, and there'll be no opportunity for repentance. The old devil tries his best to let people know and try to encourage them that one of these days after they get to hell that God's got a way that they can get out and they can repent then, but that's the devil's lie and that's not the truth of the Bible. There is no hope after death. Death ends it all, and where a tree falls, it lays. Where a soul goes, it stays. Forever and ever and ever. So there's no repentance. Can you imagine being shut up with one's own depravity for eternity? As I told you earlier, I have enough trouble with me now, and I'm a Christian. I fight battles every day. Apostle Paul said the same thing. I'm in good company. I'm not like him, but I'm in good company. He said he beat his body under subjection. He pressed forward to the high calling of God. It's a constant thing. It's a constant battle. And if all of you will be truthful with me, you'll say, Amen. Because you have the same battles. Some don't want to admit it, but you have the same battles. I know you do because I know what God says about the flesh. Now, I'm not saying no being overcome with them battles. I'm saying we have victory in Christ. But I am saying the battles are there. Can you imagine for eternity having to spend an eternity with one's own depravity forever? I can't imagine that. And yet that's what a lost soul suffers. The agony of no repentance. The Bible says in Romans 3:19 that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. In other words, everybody is guilty before God. There's not a person out here that can say, I'm not guilty. There's not one, because we are guilty before God Almighty. See, we're lost, hopelessly lost without God. And the only hope for us is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross for us. That is a hope for us. And yet people will not come to Christ. People will not repent now. Well, in hell, there'll be no repentance. You won't have to worry about repentance once again, ever, because there'll be none. Did you ever notice, and it's interesting to note, that in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, there was no repentance for his sin? The only thing he did, he wanted somebody to touch his tongue with some water, help him in his agony and torment. He wanted somebody to go and tell his brothers so that they would not have to come there, but there was no repentance of that man's sins. He did not cry out to God, Oh God, I've done wrong, I've sinned, I've done all these things, and call. No, he didn't. There was no repentance. And there'll be no repentance in hell, see, outside of God, the one who can give repentance. You better get that repentance taken care of before death. Amen? And so there's the agony of no repentance. And not only that, there is the agony, and it goes along with this, the agony of unbelief. John, in the book of John, the 5th chapter, he says, ye would not come to Christ. It was a matter that they could not. It wasn't a matter that Christ had provided everything, but he says you would not come. God holds out his hand of welcome to all that are unsaved. He wants them to come and be saved, born into God's family. He puts his wonderful hand out and invites them to be saved. And he says, when even here he was on earth and walked on this earth, he says, you would not come. We see it all the time today. We see it in every day of our life. We see people who will not come. We see people who sit in a church service, who hears the word of God and hears the warnings of hell. And yet they will not come. They will not believe. They will not trust Christ. The agony of unbelief. The Bible says, for as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's to those that will receive. It's not the matter that you know about how to be saved. It's will you receive it? Will you repent? Will you trust Christ? And will you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You see, it's not a matter. You say, well, I know how to be saved. Well, have you received Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in him and believed upon him? I'm not talking about some just religious experience. I'm talking about receiving Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who comes to live in our hearts. We're born into God's family. I'm saying the agony of no repentance, the agony of unbelief. The Bible also says that unbelief would not receive the counsel from God. It is so stubborn. In the book of Proverbs, he says, but ye have set at naught all my counsel. I mean, you wouldn't listen to God. You wouldn't listen to the counsel I had for you. And God has given you counsel this morning through this preacher. It's not my counsel, it's God's counsel. But he's given you counsel to get saved, to put your faith and trust in Christ and to believe upon him. But the Bible says, no, they wouldn't receive the counsel of God. They neglected it. They would not receive it. Bible says over the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, he says, come unto me. He invites us to come. He wants to wash us of our sin. He wants to make our sins as though they were snow. Our iniquity as though it was wool. He wants to do that. He invites us to come. He even says, why don't you come and reason with me? Now, folks, he's not saying, why don't you come and reason with me? I may change my mind, but he's saying unto us all, why don't you just come and let me reason with you and show you what must be? You must be born again. You must be saved. You must be cleansed of your sin. And Almighty God is asking you and I to reason with Him. Let Him reason with us and show us. And we neglect that counsel. The agony, can you imagine the agony of a lost soul that goes through eternity knowing he's rejected the counsel and reasoning of God Almighty? And can you imagine the defiled mind and the defiled heart that the unsaved has, spending that in eternity forever and ever and ever without any end? Forever. Having turned down the counsel and the reasoning of God Almighty in their life. Now, I'm saying to you from where I stand, because I did receive Christ as my Savior, and from where I stand, I don't now understand why everybody don't. But I know also before I was saved, it was a while God had to work on me and convict me to the place where I was willing to receive Christ. I'm just saying it's so foolish to turn down Christ. He loves you. Turn down His counsel. Turn down His reasoning. It's foolish to do that. What an agony it's going to be throughout the ages of eternity to think about all the counsel that one might have turned down and the reasoning that God wanted to give them about their salvation. And then there's the agony of hopelessness. This misery that we're talking about is an eternal misery. You look at life and you think of life, and I know some of you young people out here, because I was young once, really. But I know that you look and you say, I'm never going to get old, I'm never going to die, I've got my whole life ahead of you, and I really do trust you do and hope you have a great life and want you to live a good life, and I hope God gives you a lengthy life. But I want to tell you something. You will die. When that is, I don't know. That's God's business. And you may die young. Do you understand that? You may not live another day. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying truth. I'm just putting it out there for you to understand, stir your heart. You may not live another week, another day, another hour, or even another minute. We just don't know. But all I do know is this. If you die without Christ, the misery that you're going to suffer is going to be an eternal misery. There'll never, ever be any hope, ever, 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 of getting away from that misery. There's no escape. There's no getting out of hell. God will place you in the lake of fire forever and ever, and you'll be separated from Him, and He won't come back for visits to try to see if you're ready to get out. That's contrary to the Scriptures. It's an everlasting fire. It's an everlasting eternity in a devil's hell, in the lake of fire forever. Conscious pain forever. The rich man showed us that. Tormented in these flames, begging for a drop of water. Conscious pain forever and ever and ever. I'll read you a couple verses of Scripture which we don't use a whole lot. We ought to use some more in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 14, verse 10 and 11. Listen to what he says. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. The Bible says that those without Christ will be tormented with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment will go up forever and ever. You know what that means? That means there's no ending to it. And he also says they'll have no rest day or night. I don't know about you folks, but I sure do sometimes at the end of a day look forward to getting in bed and resting. You just wore out. It just feels good just to get in bed and rest. The Bible says, for those who will be tormented in the flame, there'll be no rest day or night. Now, in heaven, there's no night also. You know, I know right now you say, man, I'm going to look forward to a nice rest in heaven. You won't need it. You'll have an eternal body, and you won't even think about needing rest. We'll be on the go all the time, doing whatever God wants us to do. But can you imagine being in an eternal flame where there is no rest day or night? You can't come down to that thing and say, oh boy, it's almost nighttime. We get to go to bed and get to some rest. No, there'll be none of that. It's an eternal torment forever and ever. And it's simply there because they refuse to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Separated from God forever. Yeah, the Word of God tells us in the book of Matthew that Jesus says, depart from me, ye cursed. I again can't imagine that being said to me. I can't even imagine standing before a holy God and Him telling me, not only am I cursed, but I had to depart from Him out of the presence of God Almighty forever and ever and ever. Can you imagine that? Well, folks, the whole thing about this is you don't have to do that. See, it's all separation from God if you don't receive Christ, but it's all being with God forever if you do receive Christ. Promises. To think about being in hell where the memories of all of the mercies that God has offered us, all the opportunities that God has offered and yet men rejected them, to spend an eternity remembering those opportunities and those mercies that God offered us, to spend an eternity thinking about them and knowing forever and ever that you're going to think about it forever and ever, that you had opportunities that you rejected. That's why I'm doing my best to try to tell you this morning, if you're here without Christ, please don't reject the opportunity you have. God loves you so much. He wants to save you, but He won't save you any other way except the way He's planned. And that's through Jesus Christ, the wonderful Son of God. Can you imagine living throughout eternity with guilt upon you there forever? Thank God when Jesus comes into life, He lifts guilt. Let me say something to you, Christians. God does not want you to walk around with a guilt load upon your life for your past life and past sins. When we get saved, He wants us to get away from that guilt. Put it where it belongs and go on for God. You understand? That's the devil that's putting that on you. If you feel that guilt continually, God doesn't want you to carry that. You've been forgiven. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus. You say, Brother Ross, will I forget that guilt? You probably won't ever forget some of the things that you've done in life, but you ought not to carry the guilt. When Jesus died for you, He washed your sins away, cleansed you. Doesn't want you to walk around as a second-class citizen or a second-class Christian because you've done some terrible things in your past life. In Christ, that's washed, forgiven, cleansed. Go on and love God and walk with Him. And know how much He loves you. Amen? But for the unsaved, they'll carry that guilt through all eternity. What a horrible thing it would be to have to carry that. I can't imagine standing before a holy, righteous God in all of its filthiness of sin that's upon me and standing before God Almighty and having to face Him that way. I can't imagine that. But once again, I say to you, thank God that you and I don't have to. Because we have a covering, we have a washing away of all the sin through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen. Now, I'm just saying to you, the agonies of a lost soul are serious, and they're going to be eternal. If you this morning are here without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you say, "Brother Ross, I have never been saved. I do not know that if I die, I go to heaven." I want to tell you something, and I want you to understand this is serious business. If you die like that, you're going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell, separated from God forever and ever. And you don't want to do that. And there's no reason for you to do that. If you'll come and receive Jesus Christ, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He'll born you again into His family, wash you of your sin, cleanse you, and make you a new creature in Him. And He'll take you to heaven when you die. Now, I'm just asking you, please search your heart and just see if you are saved. Are you born again? Are you saved? Can you search your heart and know that there was absolutely a time when you received Christ as your personal Savior, you're born again, you're His child, and you're ready for heaven? If so, praise Him for it, thank Him for it, rejoice in it. If not, come down this aisle and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Don't put this thing off. Get right with God. You don't want to be separated from Him forever in a lake of fire. You don't want to do that. You need to get right this morning, and all it takes is a repentant heart that says, "Oh Lord God, I am an old sinner. I'm just exactly what You said I am. I'm lost. I'm hopelessly lost. I'm a sinner. And I need Jesus Christ to wash away my sins and give me eternal life." And God will do it. Amen. So please consider what has been said. If you're unsaved, please walk this aisle this morning. If you're saved, please pray for those that might not be saved and rejoice in the fact that you're God's child, thanking God for it this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank You again today for Your wonderful grace, Your goodness, and Your kindness to us. I thank You for the truths of Thy Word. Your Word makes it very plain that those outside of God that's never received Christ will spend an eternity in the devil's lake of fire. And Father, You've also made it equally true and plain that those in Christ who receive Christ as their personal Savior will spend a life of bliss with the Son of God forever. And Lord, we just trust today if there's those here without Christ, they'll make a decision today. They'll walk this aisle. They'll receive Jesus as their Savior, being born into God's family. They'll take the warning, the admonition from the Scripture and from the message this morning, Lord, that they'll realize they need to be saved. They don't want to take a chance of spending an eternity without You. Now, I thank You for Your wonderful promises, Your wonderful goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.